The message today is called A Mother's Two Types of Faith. Before we get into the Word, I just want to share a couple things. This weekend, Becky and I drove down to Irvine, California. The local region of our denomination, our church's denomination, officially voted our church in as a member church. I know for a lot of you that means nothing, but let me explain what that means. We are a three-year-old church, and when we first started, we had a lot of support from our denomination, and we still do, but we had a lot of financial support. We are now officially self-supporting. Our church has a constitution, we have a leadership team, and all these things are in place that we're now able to be part of our denomination, actually have a voice in the wider network of what's going on nationwide in our denomination. This was the first step. This was our local region of our denomination. In June, I'm flying out to Colorado for our national, where that's really official, where we're going to be voted in there. And I believe that whole ceremony is going to be on the web. So we'll let you know what the link is so you guys can watch that in June, because this is stuff you want to watch, right? So I just want to share that news. We got back and the vote was unanimous, so that was good. Also, the other piece of news is we are going through a series called Five Glimpses of Heaven. We're putting a pause on that series today. We're going to continue next week with talking about angels. Angels are in heaven, and we don't really have a chance that much in church to talk about what are angels, who are they, what significance does that have in our lives today. So that will be the topic of next week. But today, I want to talk about a mother's two types of faith. You know, before I was a parent, I was pretty confident that I would be a good one. I used to think that parenting was like a flow chart, you know? If the child does this, then you follow this path. If the child does this, then you follow this path. And then we got real kids. And just as an example, you know, at least two or three times this morning, before I even got here to church, my kids came up to me and started arguing, saying, you know, Nathan hit me, no, Eli hit me, well, you said this. And I looked at them, I thought, I don't know how to manage this. They're both lying to my face, but I can't tell which one. Parenting is a tough job. I just wish sometimes there would be a flow chart, a real easy instruction manual. But we all know the reality is that there's no such thing. There's so many variables that come up in parenting, so many things that come up. And I'm a young parent in terms of young kids. Many of you have kids who are older, who are teenagers. Some of you have kids who have kids. And I find that no matter who you are, especially as a mom, you never stop being a mom. Is that right? That's what I keep hearing. And my mom would say the same thing about me. Being a mom, being a parent, takes a lot of faith. And what I want to do today, this morning, is look at a mother in the Bible and look at her two types of faith. She's actually a very important mom, but we rarely talk about her. Her name is Jochebed. How many of you have heard of Jochebed? All right, a few of you. Good. Well, Jochebed's mentioned only two or three, maybe four times in the Bible. She isn't written about a lot. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it's a chapter of people who are faithful. It's the heroes. It's the walk of fame. It's the hall of fame for people who are faithful. And Jochebed gets mentioned. And so she's someone we need to learn from. She was the mother of Moses. And what I'd like to do is read her story. And if you would, turn to Exodus chapter 2 in your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can share with a neighbor. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus is the second book in your Bible, Genesis and Exodus. And you can turn to chapter 2 and we'll read verses 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. This is Jochebed. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. We'll explain why in a moment. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Let me pray for us. God, we come here thanking you for our mothers. God, we thank you for the hard work that goes into parenting. And God, we also recognize those who are here who had hoped to be mothers by now and aren't. God, we ask for compassion and mercy for them. Lord, we pray for those who are mothers, but relationship with their kids is severed in some type of way. We pray for healing for those relationships. But God, we also celebrate and thank you for our mothers, those who have worked so hard, those who have been a blessing to us, those who have loved us. We want to say thank you. And we pray that this word would be meaningful for all of us and we'd come away changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some background to this story. It starts with, now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman in verse 1 and then verse 2, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Some of the background of this story is Joseph, if you guys remembered, immigrated to Egypt. He was a Hebrew. He was an Israelite. And what happened in Egypt is many Israelites moved there and they flourished. For 400 years, the Jews were living in Egypt as a minority race, but they flourished. They grew in number. They grew in success. They were doing very, very well in Egypt. And the Egyptian became very jealous of them. And so the Pharaoh began to figure out ways to limit their prosperity. The first thing he did is he enslaved all the Egyptians, all the Hebrews. He made them slaves, made them work hard with the hope that this would somehow diminish how well they're doing in Egypt. Well, that didn't work. They enslaved them, but the Hebrews kept growing and prospering. So here's the second thing he did. He ordered all the Hebrew midwives, the ladies who would go and deliver babies for the Hebrew women, he ordered all of them that if a Hebrew woman gave birth to a son, he gave permission for the Hebrew wives to kill the sons right on the spot. Well, the Hebrew midwives did not want to do this, and they made up lies and got out of it, so that didn't work either. So the third thing was this. The Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, if you see any baby Hebrew boy born, I give you permission to throw them in the Nile and kill them. And so he gave the Egyptians a blank check to do whatever he wanted to the baby boys. So Jochebed gets pregnant. She's Hebrew. She gives birth. And it's a baby boy. Now, we aren't in that kind of situation now. But there is that kind of fear that many of us have kids, have babies, and wonder what will become of them. Right? We wonder, God, what will happen? Who will they be exposed to? What kinds of trouble will they get into? How can I protect them from the evils of this world? Who will be their friends? What will they do when they grow up? Will they be okay financially? And we have so many fears and so many concerns. What would you do if you gave birth to a baby boy and you knew that the whole country had permission to kill him? Well, Jochebed did something amazing. She hid her baby boy for 3 months. Have you guys ever tried to hide a baby? I can't get my kids to be quiet anywhere. And we don't know how Jochebed did it, but because she honored God, because she loved her son more than the fear of what Pharaoh would do to her, she spent 3 months in a very creative and courageous way hiding her baby boy in such a way that nobody knew about him. That takes courage. And as we talk about the two types of faith that mothers have, I want to say the first one, if you're taking notes, is the mothers have courageous faith. The mother needs courageous faith. If you're going to be a mom, if you are a mom, you have courage. There's something in you that wants to protect your kids no matter what. You're looking out for them. You have your eye on them, making sure that nothing, no harm will ever hit them. Hebrews 11:23 in your outline says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. A mother needs courageous faith. And hiding kids takes a lot of effort. I'll play hide and seek with my kids where I'll tell them to go hide somewhere in the house and to be quiet. It never works because they don't know how to be quiet. They're in the closet talking. It's hard to keep a kid quiet. But Jochebed had courageous faith. She figured out how to do that, even with the threat of her life being taken for such a thing. We often think of faith as something passive. You know, just sit back, let go, and let God. But faith has a very active part to it. Faith sometimes calls us to do risky things. Moms, I think of some of you who have been unable to have babies, and you've gone out of your way to adopt or care for other kids. That takes courage. Moms, I've seen you become believers, and your husbands aren't believers yet, but you take it upon yourself to raise your kids knowing about Jesus, even though you don't have a supportive family. That takes courage. Moms, I see you stand up to your teenage sons or daughters, saying no sometimes to things they want to do, even though all their friends are saying it's okay. And you're facing that peer pressure from other parents, but you're saying, no, I love my kid too much to risk that. That takes courage. And moms, I want to say thank you. Thank you for being so courageous. Thank you for loving your kids so much that you have the courage to do what's right for them no matter what other people are saying around you. Because you trust God. And this is what Jochebed did. Even though she risked, she could have been persecuted and killed for what she did, she loved her son so much that she acted courageously. She trusted God and she feared God more than anything else. So thank you for your courageous decisions you've already made for your children. Keep going. We need you, moms, to protect. We need you, moms, to stand up for your kids. We need you, moms, to stand up and say, we will protect our kids no matter what. We will do what's right for them no matter what. We will reject peer pressure. We will reject what people think about us because we love our kids. And I want to encourage you to keep going at that. Are there areas right now in your life, moms, where you need to stand up and be courageous? You need to go to the school and talk to the teachers. You need to have a hard conversation with your son or daughter because you're the mom. Are there areas where you might have been backing down out of fear of what other people might be saying about you? I want to encourage you, as you've already done, be courageous. We need that. Amen? There are times, though, where you not just need courage, you need wisdom. See, after 3 months, it became nearly impossible to hide this baby. Verse 3 in chapter 2 goes on and says, but when Jochebed could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed a child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Jochebed realized after 3 months that it was going to become impossible to keep hiding. And so what did she do? She put her baby in the Nile. Now, the Nile River is a wide river known for its crocodiles. But she didn't just throw this baby in the Nile. She made a basket. She carefully made a basket that wouldn't sink. She just didn't send him flowing down the river, but she put the basket in a bunch of reeds where it would stay stationary, in a place where she knew women would hang out, kind of like putting a baby at the door of a hospital. She knew that other moms would come by and see this baby. The other thing she did is she asked her daughter, Miriam, who was much older, to stand and watch to see what was going to happen with her baby boy. See, if Jochebed stood there and watched, people would have connected the dots and said, hey, you're the mom of this baby. So she put her younger daughter just to see what was going to happen. So she didn't send this baby going, hey, good luck. Hope you do well. Have fun. I'll see you on the other side of the river. Hope you survive. But no, she took a lot of caution. She was wise about how she let go of her baby. And that's the second area of faith that a mother needs. If you're taking notes, a mother needs wise faith. A mother needs wise faith. Jochebed purposely thought ahead. She had to let go of her child, but she did it in a really wise way. Moms, how many for you is it hard to let go of your child? I want to say something. There's a point as a mother where you need to let go, but you need to do it wisely. There's a point as a mother, if you're going to really care for your kids, you have to let go. But it's not a letting go of anger. It's not a letting go of frustration. It's not a letting go of, I'm so done with you. It's a letting go out of love and concern, and it's done with wisdom. Jochebed thought through all the things. I need to let go of you, Moses, but I'm going to put some things in place so you're going to be okay. I'm going to make the basket. I'm going to put your basket in the right place. I'm going to set your sister in the right place to watch. Being a mom not only requires courageous faith, but it requires wise faith to know when and how to let go. I want to encourage you not only to be courageous, but to let go at the right time. Sometimes holding on to your kids too long will hurt them. Sometimes clinging on to them too long will hurt them. And what you need to know is that sometimes by letting go in wisdom, you're actually giving them to God and trusting that He will take care of them. You're saying, I love them, but it's time for me to let go. It's time for me to release. I'm not going to do it in anger. I'm not going to do it in frustration. I'm not going to do it because I quit. I'm going to do it because I love them and I want the best for them. It takes courage to do that, but it also takes wisdom. But it's done in faith, knowing that there is a God above who cares about your child, who loves your child more than you do, who gave your child to you to steward for a season. But at some point, you need to say, I let them go back in your hands, God. I give them to you. I pray for them, but I trust that you are good, and you will watch them. And I have good news for you, moms. And this is the third point. God rewards that kind of faith. God rewards that kind of faith that has courage, that protects in the right moment. God rewards the kind of faith that is wise, that lets go at the right moment. I want you to get what happened, what God did in response to Jochebed's faith. He let Pharaoh's daughter come and see. Now, back then, rich women didn't raise their own kids, but they would hire someone else to do the weaning, to do the feeding. And so when Jochebed's daughter, Moses' sister, saw that Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, the first thing she did is say, hey, you want me to go find someone? And the lady's like, sure. So who would she find? Her mom. So her mom got to go raise Moses without any fear anymore. She was hired by Pharaoh's daughter to do something incredibly illegal, but with full protection. And get this, moms, she got paid for being a mom. Oh my goodness, do you know how much that would help my household if Becky got paid for being a mom? You know, the baby wakes up or the kids wake up at 3 a.m. Don't worry, Bex, just clock in. She would fill out her timesheet. Okay, the baby's back in bed, clock out. And every week she'd be able to go and get her paycheck for being a mom. Mercy. That would be wonderful. This is a mom's dream. By law, she's protected, she's raising her son, and she gets income to do it. You can't ask for anything better. And the reason she got all that blessing was she trusted God. She knew how to have faith and how to stand up for her kids at the right moment. And she knew how to have faith and when to let go and be wise at the right moment. And God saw all that and says, I bless you. I'm going to take care of you. Moses gets brought up by his mom during his formative years. So even though he's in an Egyptian country that doesn't honor the God of the Hebrews, his mother gets to teach him about God. His mother gets to teach him about the history of what God has done for their people. She gets to teach him about the Bible, gets to teach him about the commandments. So he gets to be raised by a mom who instills faith in him. But he gets the best of both worlds. Not only does he get raised by his mom, but eventually he gets transferred over to Pharaoh's daughter who raises him in the best Egyptian education ever. He gets wise, he learns, and he becomes a learned person. The Bible says in Acts 7:22, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. God gave Moses the upbringing of a faith and the secular education that gave him all he needed to know to succeed in his final role. And one day this man, Moses, grew up to be the person who delivered the Israelites from slavery to freedom in Egypt, putting all those disciplines, all his faith, all his learned aspects into work. See, there are things that we as parents can do. There are things we can do to help shape our kids, but ultimately there comes a time where we just have to say, God, it's up to you. I've done what I can, but God, I give them to you. Jochebed did what she could, but ultimately it was up to God, and she wasn't alone. God was watching the whole time, helping her in every step. And moms and parents, I want to encourage you that raising your kids is not all up to you. If you let him, God wants to partner with you to watch after your kids and to care for them as only he can. Sometimes we need to let our kids go and we see them make mistakes. We see them learn things the hard way. We see them follow God's call sometimes, and even that's hard because sometimes it means they need to move or take a step financially. It's hard for us to see, but moms, take heart. God will use your courageous, wise faith to accomplish his purposes. He's working behind the scenes to accomplish his purpose in your children's lives. He will use you, but it's not all up to you. So moms, we want to say today, first of all, thank you. Thank you so much for what you've already shown when it comes to courage and wisdom. Thank you for the things you've done so far to protect your kids, to watch out for them, to raise them, to feed them, to take care of them. And thank you so much for the wisdom you've shown to let go at the right times, to release at the right times, and to give them to God's hands. You are our heroes. And can I just have everyone who's not a mom just give a round of applause for our moms for a second? You guys are our heroes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we need you to keep going down that route. We need you to keep being courageous, to keep being wise, to instill in your children a knowledge of God, this God who sees and knows your child's deepest need. We need you for that. We need you to model for us a dedication to children. But don't worry, it's not all up to you. God is partnering with you. In what areas do you still need to be courageous? In what areas do you still need to be wise? Keep doing what you're doing. I read a story of someone once went to a full-time mom and asked, "What is it that you do for work, by the way?" She responded, "I'm socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of a Christian worldview in order that they might one day be instruments for the transformation of the social order into some kind of utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation." She then added, "And what do you do?" Thank you, moms. You have a hard job, and we're so proud of you. I want to say something interesting about this passage. In verse 1, it says that Moses' mom saw that Moses was a fine child, and she was motivated to action out of compassion. Later on, it says that Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses and was motivated to care out of compassion. At the end of this chapter, we didn't read it, but the Bible says that God, and uses the same word, God saw his people under slavery. And he was moved to action. I want you to catch something here. Moses' mom saw out of motherly love and was moved to action. Pharaoh's daughter saw and was moved to action. And God saw and was moved to action. And the Bible seems to imply that when God sees you and me, he has that same motherly instinct that Moses' mom had and that Pharaoh's daughter had. That he sees us and he is moved to compassion because of our situation. He sees that we need protection. He sees that we need him to guide us. He sees that we need someone to show us the way, and he is moved to action. I want to say, no matter what you've heard about God up until now, whatever image you have of God right now, I want to instill a more correct one in your heart right now. That when God sees you and sees your suffering and sees your mistakes and sees what mess you got yourself into, he sees that, and like a mother, he has compassion on you. And he is moved to action. We have a God who cares. And so if you can just visualize your mom and the way she was moved to care for you, we have a God who's moved in the same way. So we learn from our moms, and God is good. And when God saw us, he had compassion. He rescued the Hebrews from Egypt, but he rescues us today. The Bible says that for God so loved the world, he saw us and had compassion, that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. That God loves us. He loves us, and he's moved to action. And when he saw our suffering, he sent a rescuer to care for us. He is the King of Kings, and sometimes we think he is so aloof and doesn't care. He's busy running the universe. But the God of the universe, the Lord of Lords, sees you, and he's moved to care for you. So don't believe the lies that says God is too busy for you. Don't believe the lies that says, oh, he doesn't care about you. He is moved. He sees and he moves, and he sent Jesus as an example for that. And when Jesus was on the cross, he was moved for those who killed him. He looked upon them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, while we were turned away from God, he died for us. So we learn from our moms that God's compassion for us is greater than we could ever imagine. You want a picture of unconditional love? Look at a mom and her newborn. I see moms complain about their pregnancy for 9 months. They're wheezing, they're sweaty, they're upset, they're angry. When is this baby going to come out? But when the baby's born, you can't put words to what you see. There's love, right? That's how God loves you. Moms, thanks for modeling that to us. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for creating motherhood. And God, thank you that ultimately you model the compassion that we see in our moms. God, I don't know what people are coming from this week. I don't know what people are coming from this morning. I imagine there's frustration, there's worry, there's anger, there's concern, there's fear, there's regret, there's guilt. God, I pray that this morning would be something different for us, where we just understand that you love us, that you see us in our situation, and you have compassion on us. And Lord, I pray for those right now who have a very skewed image of you. God, perhaps people are coming with an image of you as an angry policeman just waiting to get us in trouble, or an aloof father who has no interest in us. God, you push against all those images, and you show that you are a loving father, a father who shows a motherly instinct and has compassion on his children. So I pray for those, God, who have a skewed image, that today would be the first day they become more open to knowing the true you. I pray for those people, God, that they would actually come back next week and say, God, I want to get to know the real you. Not the you that I hear on TV or my dad or mom modeled to me, but I want to get to know the real you. I want to know you as a compassionate parent for me. Lord, may this be new for us. And God, I pray you bless our moms today. May they feel celebrated, joyful, and may their kids show them the love they deserve. And we pray all this in Jesus' great name. Amen.